Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Greetings to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're grateful to have you join us tonight on another episode. For our new listeners, be informed that this is an educational forum, and our episodes are geared toward encouraging thought and action, more importantly, taking thought to action. And we try to present factual, educational information that is useful. It's a national dialogue, and we are targeting through Building Families and Communities Institute, a research arm of a nonprofit organization based in Nashville, Tennessee. We're targeting at-risk males who need support, guidance, as well as their families. So feel free to join us in our dialogue tonight, 657-383-0944 is the number that you can call directly to join in our conversation. Again, for our new listeners, if, for your understanding, we start with a monologue, and then we, if we have guests tonight, is an open mic discussion. We go into our conversation, and you're invited to share your question, your comments. We only ask that you make it relevant to our topic and that it be respectful of all that is joining us on live air. I do expect to have Pastor Waller to come on in a little bit here, our regular panelists, and any of you that might join us. The first impression of us is a lasting impression for others. What they know about us is what we say, either consciously or unconsciously. Too often, based on clothing, language, size, and even action, people have false impressions of who we are and what we stand for. Tonight, we open the mic in a discussion on the topic, what do others see in you? What do others see in you? That is our topic for tonight. And again, the number for you to call in just a little bit is 657-383-0944. We welcome you to join us in our dialogue. If you're listening on Facebook, you can add a comment to our post there. All right. So Matthew's, the fifth chapter in the sixth verse, reads, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's talk about what generally an appearance is. When we talk about appearance, that which pertains to or being what is seen as being apparent, as distinguished from the underlying nature or facts, etc., pertaining to the surface, qualities only, what we can see on the surface, superficial, the outward appearance, right? Belonging or pertaining to external actions or appearances, as opposed to inner feelings or mental state, which someone can really grasp and understand. It's the outward show, for example, of grief. What we see is not always what appears to be. Now, briefly, I'm going to share with you a song from the A Blast from the Past by the Undisputed Truth, a group called the Undisputed Truth. I believe this was 1971 they made this song. It was entitled Smiling Faces Sometimes Tell It. Just for a second, listen to the Undisputed Truth. Undisputed Truth in just a minute, but you need to know that what you see on the outside is not always what is the truth. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. I want to talk for a second now about the impact that pop culture has on the outward identity that is presented to other people by many good, well-intended folk, even church people. Okay? So for a second, let's examine the way that pop culture produces what's known as social norms. In other words, what everybody does. It's the latest fad, the latest style, or the latest thing that's in. In the book Dominant Ideology Thesis, the authors argue that the mass media is the key by which ideas of dominant class, people that have all the money that you see in the news all the time and with the greater images and what have you, spread their views or identity on the rest of society. This view is crucial to understanding how popular culture, who has the money to put their image on TV? Who can afford to put their words and lyrics out on the radio? Who can put their stuff out on the street, on the corner, where everybody hears it, everybody sees it, and this becomes a part of what everybody wants to identify themselves with? This is the impact. Fashion is a major factor. What people wear says a whole lot about who they want to be for the day. Now, it's amazing to me how today you can see someone with one set of clothes on, and tomorrow they're different. When you go into work, you already trained to dress professionally. Usually, if you're male, a shirt and tie, a suit. If you're a female, a suit or a dress or skirt, and now slack has become acceptable. And certain other types of attire that passes as professional. It was interesting where there was a big news story in Congress about a Congress lady or media person who had on a sleeveless dress, and they didn't want to let her into the chambers because that was against the rule. Well, these are some of the impacts, again, on popular culture and how it shapes people. Now, just imagine if you are a young mind and you don't understand what's real and what's not. And everybody comes out, and you see the dog trying to meow like a cat. The cat trying to bark like the dog. That brings a little confusion, I believe, when young people see what is becoming socially acceptable by adults for political reasons, or because money is behind it, or because it's been popularized by the media. This shapes their identity. Now, that brings us to what the nature of our show is. We're seeking to help young people in particular find their way. What they have been presented and what they presented to us today is not what I believe is their real self. I don't believe they want to be self-destructive. I do not believe that who they are and what people see of them is what they want for themselves. To be known as a gangster, a drug dealer, a hustler. I don't believe they want to be known and identified as someone who society ought to be afraid of. But circumstances have brought them to that point where this has become a major part of who they are, largely because you see these images in the media, in movies, and you see them on the internet, YouTube, and all sorts of things. These are the things that shape them. But the question is, who do others see in you? Is it the real man or the real woman? I submit to you that one of the primary reasons people laugh one day, utterly unhappy another day, is largely because what you saw is not who they are. They can't say what you see is what you get. Nope. Because it wasn't theirs from the get-go. So what we want to do is to consider, as we move forward in our tour and our lecture, how is it that we can help people know the truth about identity and what is appropriate and what is inappropriate? This becomes a very critical thing when it comes to trying to be someone other than yourself. Growing up, I can remember people saying, well, you're not white. Why are you trying to act white? Not sure what that means. I think I have a pretty good idea. But the truth of the matter is, if you carry yourself in a respectful way and you demand respect from others and you're productive in society and you speak accordingly, I don't think that's something that white people do. I believe that's something that people who have a healthy language base and a healthy understanding of the world and reality, that's how they present themselves. Now, just because a person speaks broken English does not necessarily mean that they're a bad person or that they're going to get you, they're going to rob you. Again, who do others see in you? Lastly, what many try to do is to cover up their demons, their evils, by putting a cross on or in a Bible under their arm. Walking in the church, in the Lord's house, and shouting the loudest, and being the most outgoing and outspoken, or dressing so loud and so sharp that you can't help but to turn around and woo, look at that. Boy, he's sharp. Sharper than a tack. So sharp, if you touch him, he'll cut you. Well, I mean, come on now. Again, Who is it that people see when they see you? And when you go to bed at night, can you be that same man when you get up in the morning, that same woman when you get up in the morning, or is it all a show? Topic again is, what do others see in you? You can call us here, 657-383-0944. We would love to entertain you. I got my very good friend now, Pastor Ricky Waller, the author of a very powerful and instructional book, Heal High. It's on it's out there. And you can get it right here on our website at www.bscinstitute.com. Just simply highlight the contact us link, and you'll see where our backstory is. And when you purchase that, this brother is true to his word. He's already made contributions to the organization as we strive to take this message to now more than 11 cities across America. Pastor Wall, how you doing this evening?
I'm good, good. Thank you. How you doing there, Pastor Dockery?
Mighty fine, mighty fine. How they treating you out there, man?
Man, everything's all right, man. I think that's a powerful way to enter into such knowledge that you're putting out there. I know that.
Well, praise God. Praise God. Well, chime in on that. Chime in on that, man. What do other people see in us? I guess you can personalize it. I did for myself. Am I real? Am I keeping it real? Am I keeping it 100? Am I putting on the show? You want to speak it up right there?
I think it's better the way you bring it in it forth, you know. You're keeping it real, man. I think the people deserve that. The truth is what we really need more of, I would say.
Right.
Right. There's a hunger and thirst, you know, for the truth. And I just appreciate it so much that when I think about some of the things that has gone on in my life, and I constantly do that, not because I want to, it's just an assignment that every now and then it's just good to remember when, you know.
Right.
You know, Lamentation chapter 3, verse number 21 states it very clear. It says, and this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. So when I do look back over it and begin to think about it, I heard what you said earlier about the smiling faces. You know, they tell lies a lot of times. You know, they don't tell truth. I mean, man.
That's the undisputed truth, man. That's what they say.
It's undisputed because it's in the Word of God, too, you know. And so I'm coming from a place where I didn't know nothing about the Word of God. And I'm looking at it now as I begin to ponder on the thought of that. I said, man, that's amazing, man. Those brothers were singing that back then, you know, and it's ironic on how, you know, we're still being lied to.
You know,
with a smile.
Wow. Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And I say that honestly.
Look, hold that thought, man. That's one of the motivations for this show, man. It's so easy for people to butter you up, to pump your head up with a smile. But what's behind that smile?
Yeah, man.
I'm
scary.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, keep on. Like I said, it's scary. Just keep on. You know, go ahead on and talk about it.
I'm telling you, isn't that something? 1080, you with me?
Hey, yeah, I'm here. I'm listening, man. How's everybody doing?
Okay.
Hey, brother,
how's the family doing?
All right, man. Pretty good myself. Doing all right.
Mighty fine. But yeah, so Pastor, the reality is, and now I'm going to speak to myself now, because, see, I don't want to put off on nobody else, but I won't put on myself. And the truth is, I ask myself, when you're out there, man, and when you're running your mouth and you're doing your thing, is this real or is this just to put on? I discovered that when people got something they want from you, they'll put on just enough to get your attention, get what they want, then they're gone. If they don't get what they're looking for, they mad. And guess what they say, Pastor? Guess what they say? Man, I did that for nothing.
Okay. Isn't that amazing?
It is, man.
And
we wasted all that time, and we didn't even get what we... Well, even people, when they say they're going out to evangelize, they're going to save souls, right? We're going to win souls for Christ. When people disappoint them, don't come.
like they think they ought to, oh, we ain't wasting no time with them no more.
Yeah. Oh, man, there's so many areas to cover in that, man. I don't know if it's enough time, you know, to, you just really get it all in this session. But, man, it is amazing because I was actually myself still dealing with this powerful lie. And, you know, and I have a right to. Let me say that. I have a right to, man.
Okay.
I can't get in the past. But, yes, you know, sometimes, man, you take your past and you look at it and you discover some things like I did. I got a chance to. And when I discovered, man, I was lied to.
Wow.
And then here it is, years later, you coming up with a topic tonight, you know, in that song. Man, just supersede anything that I've dealt with when I ran into the truth. You know,
yeah.
I know what happened when I got the truth. I got free from all those lies that I was You know, yeah, I was told of many of them, and I even exercised them myself because when the lie was passed down to me, I exercised that lie. I would tell somebody something like this, man, this stuff is good. Now, listen to that, man. That's a lie. There's no way this what's going to bring you harm is good.
Wow.
But I told you that.
Ain't that something, man?
You know, lying just wait to deceive me. So I got deceived, and then I deceive others. You see what I'm saying?
I guess.
Through the conduct, the craftiness of the one who lied to me.
Wow.
And man, and I don't take that lightly because, as a little boy, you know, I look at a lot of times my mother was lied to, man. You know,
wow.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, she exercised it so well, receiving it because she wanted to, you know, to do all she could do for her kids, man. You know,
yeah.
So she was being lied to. And she exercised it. I remember one time, man, myself, I got the picture of it right now. And if you look at how I was smiling on the picture, man, you think I bleed more than man that I'm sitting there taking a picture. No good. I didn't even want to be on the picture. But
who was on
my
picture
mother,
with you?
That man name they call Santa Claus, man.
What? Say what?
Yeah. I got the picture of it today, man, and I tell you it still hurt because my mother, listen to me now, my mother was so into making sure we had everything that we desired and more.
Okay.
And so I became familiar with it, that it wasn't for real. So I don't want to be on this picture with this man.
Right.
And as I just, with my other brothers, you know, they got on the picture and they was grateful and ready to take it. And I didn't want to be on it. So my mother looked at me. She didn't even say nothing. She just looked at me like, if you don't get on that pitch, I'm going to beat you down right here. That's the kind of look to get
all I done done. Look, all I done done to get you here. You better get on that pitch.
Man, look, I got on that pitch, man. You think I believe any more than they did, man. And the man knew that I was being lied to.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
And so,
okay.
You know, when I think about that, it hurt, man. That hurts
because
that's still going on today, man. You know, and so I just want to let you know how much I appreciate, you know, what you're talking about, man. And there's so many other areas, brother, that, you know, I've been lied to. And I was able
I'm
putting it in motion myself. I was living it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Living the life.
I'm going to pose this question to you and Brother Charles and listening audience. By the way, you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. What do others see in you? That's our topic tonight. I'm going to pose this question, gentlemen. Help me out with this, y'all, because I'm a little lost. Is it possible for a preacher, a politician, a teacher, or even somebody you respect to smile in your face and tell you a lie? Is that possible?
Yeah, okay. Is it possible? Okay. Yeah.
Hey, come on, man. The show is called Talk Straight.
Straight, man. You know, it's the lie is still active, man. You know, it's still active. You know, you know, sad to say, I'm talking honestly with myself, man. It hurt, man. To me,
sure,
it doesn't feel good at all. You know, so I do all I can do, man, to stop lying to folks, man, and things, you know, because it's many years of it. I mean, I spent a lot of years in it, man, living a lie. Could you imagine living a lie?
That's interesting you ask that, because you're absolutely right. There's a whole way of life that is based on a fallacy or falsehood. And when you try to tell people, Pastor Waller, that they're in error, man, you become the public enemy number one, brother. Because everybody I look up to said it's all right.
Okay.
You know, look at them. That was my example. I got it from them. You mean tell me all these years I've been living a lie?
Yeah, all these years, man.
Now, here's the truth. Game, no game. And people can see through us if we're not real. No matter what kind of front we put on.
You're right about that. And let's just say, for instance, me not knowing anything about the Word of God. And I'm okay with understanding that I was captured. I didn't understand it, so I was living a lie. Okay, fine.
Right.
But what about when I get a chance to find out, just like what you're saying, to bring forth freedom? And now it seems like, you know, now that you're telling the truth, that you have enemies now. You see, it's amazing. Listen to what the Word of God says, according to just a different translation here. It says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed by and back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching,
by
the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. That sounds to me like being lied to. You know,
isn't that something?
It's being lied to, man, and making you believe it with a smile.
Right. Right.
And I mean, at the same time, you know, OJ, you smile in your face, backstabbing, always trying to take it
backstabbing.
Imagine the power of a backstabber, man, means you're no good. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
And have
a
smile on your face. That's what they say. And so, you know, it's happening. Go ahead.
Can I share with you another motivation for the show? Well, you know, I'm happy to try to have conversation with people, and that's part of what we do. And it became clear to me in a recent conversation as to why, I won't say all of them, but many what we call throwaway or despondent males, and I can't really just say black males, because there were some white males involved in this, but some would argue that they're trying to emulate as if they're black. So this little young brother, he's Caucasian, had his hair braided up, right? And he dazzled up with gold and everything, got the hair and bone on, and he had a little gold tooth and everything. Some people say that's black, right? I mean, you understand where I'm going, right? So I'm trying to look beyond what I see and talk to the man. You know, where your heart is, brother. But do you know, I think he was sincere in that all he knew was, this is what is important, this is the happiness, this is the thing, this is where I want to be seen at, this is who I am. And I'm trying to get him to understand, come on, be honest and real with yourself, brother.
Yeah.
Because
there's
some young cats that don't want this lifestyle. It's a lot of them, too. Oh, now it's a reality for them. But the fact that it's good for them, that it's profitable, that's the lie. And they're looking for somebody in true shape. And to be honest with them, man. But here's a young white brother is trying to get in where he fit in. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it happens to be pretending to be something that you're not. You're deceiving yourself, man. That's what it is. It's pretending
right.
to be, and that's
exactly
that's terrible.
I'm convinced though that where we are failing, and I say we. I'm a pastor, and you are too, and others in position of leadership and influence. Where respectfully I say we fail is when we're not hopefully honest with even congregants about what's going on. Because many of them are hurting in churches, man.
Oh, man.
And they're desperate
man.
For answers. And they're not getting it. Now, I won't say everybody, but I'm telling you, there's a large swath of the American population. It's one of the reasons why so many people leave the churches as well. Because what they see is not measuring up with what they know to be true and real. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's missing. It's a hunger, man. They're hungry for truth. You know, a lot of people really are. When they go to churches, they're looking for truth, man. Now, I don't know, you know, what's going on, but there's a lot of truth that's missing, brother, when it comes down to it in the churches, and you said it. I mean, why wouldn't the church bring forth truth? And give the people what they deserve because this is what they need. So when they leave the church, there's no truth, man. But if they're not getting it and they're constantly showing up in church but not getting it, man, I mean, that, to me, it ought to be a law against that.
Well,
you
it's
know,
what people, make people walk it's what make people walk away from the church, saying, and we had this with the young man, Mr. Seaburn, our last episode, what was that, this past Thursday night. And that's what he was saying. He want to know, if he go to a church, where can I find some place that I can grow and people won't laugh at me and people won't make fun of me, put me down, right? Won't give me a smiling face and knowing they don't care, you know, they can't stand my gut. I think that was his whole position. And that's a struggling point for many people. That's a struggling point for many people. And I think it's worth us having a dialogue. Briefly, let me do this. Let me do this, throw this commercial in here. The number is 657-383-0944, 657-383-0944. And I do have another question we want to pose. Give us a call. We want to hear your comments. We want to hear your questions and have you participate in this dialogue. We appreciate all that have and those that continue to listen to us online and our various social media links, that being Twitter and clicking on through Facebook and directly from the Blog Talk platform. We'll be right back after this, and then we'll come back to another question.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you and very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution, and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Tonight from the topic, what do others see in you? Pastor Richie Wall is on with us, and Brother Charles is sitting in. Gentlemen, you heard what the stylistic says. They said it's the people that keep things going and make this world go round. Tell me something, as important as the garbage man is, as important as the doctor is, the lawyer or the Indian chief, why are so many people unhappy? They look like they're doing good on the outside, but when you really look at them, you see something different. Help me with that. Charles, what do you think about it?
Oh, yeah. Not sure. I took my thoughts to say a little while, you know, stereotype is there. Stereotypes, you know, play a big part of why people perceive things. You know, we got a lot of things in our head. You know, with our own definition, I mean, it's the right definition. I don't think everything describes a person as far as like in stereotype, but that's a hindrance. Though, there's a lot of intelligent people that stereotype daily. I mean, just think about race. I mean, just because you got that black skin on, you already stereotyped. It's to perform at a certain level. So we got a whole lot to prove, you know, in the skin color. It's not about the joints a person got on. I mean, it's the skin tone at the end of the day. So it's like that's the stereotype. So to get past that, it's like to change how a person is being seen. So, I mean, because people's perspective change, you don't always misjudge and be misled if you don't know the real. That's a big one.
Yeah. It's that, that flexing that people tend to do. And, you know, we should have a good demeanor. We should not always be frowning and mean and looking like we're upset and wearing our feelings on our sleeves. But, Pastor Wally, isn't it real that sometimes you don't want to be bothered at you? You just, you know what I mean? The truth is you don't feel like putting on a smile. Is that in order?
Well, I mean, yeah, as long as you're being honest about it, it's not like you pretended. But see, that's a big difference. You know, when you said smiling, it's just pretending to be your friend. I mean, that's where it is. You know, that's where being deceived come in at.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
But that, when you're honest about it, I mean, that's amazing because, you know, a person can be ruined by that. As I said, 30 years of my life, because early on experiencing the lie, I started to live the lie. I said, well, if they can lie to me, then I can take the lie and run on with it. Not knowing that that was because of that, it had a lot to do with it. It wasn't for no fun to me, you know, because when you
right.
really believe something and you believe in it so much as I did, I mean, I actually
sure.
believe that this is real, man, without a doubt. And then find out later on, man, that it's not. I said, oh, man. Let me give you a good example.
Okay.
I dreamt one time about me having a lot of money in my hand. And it was actually there, man. I mean, I saw the money there. I felt the money and everything. Then when I woke up, it wasn't there.
Mm.
What did that do for me? Let me show you what it did for me. It prepared me for the chase. I went after it.
Ah.
And I pursued that.
Ah.
And in the midst of that, I ruined a lot of lives, you see what I'm saying, because I was chasing that lie. The old James said, for the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. So I was living a lie, brother, for a long time, man. So, you know, I'm okay with it now that I know. I've been awakened now, so I can understand I'm all right, you know, with or without it today. You know, it's just amazing, man, how that lie is so strong and powerful. So, yeah, it's okay that you don't have to pretend that you happen trying to, you know, trying to fool somebody to make them think that everything is all right. But it happens a lot of times, you know.
Sure.
And,
sure does. Sure does.
But it's nothing like something that's real, man. Nothing like it.
No, no. You know, that's interesting because I think we should examine ourselves and ask ourselves when we're in the crowd in various social settings. It could be at church or it could be at work. It could be at a social event. It could be at a concert, you know. It could be at a grocery store. Is that who you really are? I never will forget, you know, I was, Charles, I was running in a campaign, and it was late at night, and I threw some jeans on, and, you know, I didn't pay much attention to my appearance or anything. Normally, I'm a suit and tie type of guy. And my son said, Dad, you know you out there running and people watching you. You know you can't go outside like that. I mean, I've been running to the grocery store at 10 o'clock at night. You understand what I'm saying? But he said that people become used to expecting from you a certain image and a certain action associated with that image. Is that fair? Is that fair?
Is that fair?
I mean,
is that fair?
Can you just be yourself, man?
Man, that is, you know, something that, you know, someone would normally see you that way, and I guess their expectations is that they would never expect to see you contrary to that. I mean, that can happen. I don't know if you would say fair or not, but, you know, what's wrong with me is being able to put on some sneakers, you know? And
what?
Make a quick run right quick. I might want to go out on the basketball court, but I'm going to be the same person that I am,
okay.
You know, with a suit on. So
uh-huh.
I guess that's it. Yeah.
I see. So what you're saying is it does not matter what hat you wear. It's the man under the hat that matters. Is that what you're saying?
I would say.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I would say.
And, so often we put costumes on. Women spend a great deal of time in the mirror, often in the mornings, to fix themselves up so that they can portray the image that they want people to see of them. But, of course, when they get home and their feet are tired, you understand, and maybe, you know, the girdle's a little too tight and uncomfortable, I got to release, I got to unwind. And that's perfectly normal and as in order. Men have a tendency as well to dress themselves in a fashion that they want to command people's response and respect, right? But there are moments where we want to let our hair down, if you will, and just be our real self. I guess I would argue that as long as you're real all the time, it really don't matter where they catch you.
I would agree.
Help me with that. Go ahead, Pat.
Go ahead, bro, Charles.
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, you know, that's a tough one, man, because like I said, it depends on, you know, who's watching you. But overall, like standard, overall, with, you know, yeah, you want to go out there and portray whatever image, but whatever image you got there portraying, you got to make sure you can do that to its fullest and its entirety. And I don't think nobody can really do it on neither end. Conservative or, you know, just your everyday person. So I don't think nobody really fulfills nothing because we constantly changed according to settings, like a time is a place for everything, you know what I'm saying? So we constantly change
right.
it. And as long as the mindset ain't changed, I think that's okay. The clothes won't constantly change. That's status. As long as your mindset stays the same, I think that's more important.
And that's interesting, Charles, because I think the what's really important is that when people come to know your heart and where you are, you know, they may see you just getting up out of sleep and you got, you know, sleep in your eyes or you're slobbering by the mouth. And, they, oh, that's, hey, he was sleeping. Hey, he was sleeping.
He's human.
Yeah,
he ain't
perfect. Watch it now. Watch it now. Even Jesus the Christ showed his humanity. Say he looked, gentlemen, upon the world in a sad state. And I read somewhere that he wept. I wasn't there, but in my sanctified imagination, I could see him crying like a newborn baby when he saw the state that the world. But
I
he was
healed. That.
Somebody would argue a strong God, a son of God, what he doing crying, man? He ain't supposed to be crying. You understand what I'm saying? He got tired, man, and he got thirsty, and he got, you know, he gave it up because he was tired. Tired.
Yeah, it went deep, man. It went deeper than the eyes can see.
Yeah. What that says to us, brethren, is that there is a time where our human frailty does come about, does seep out of the image that we... It's important to identify who you are. And I think social psychologist says that children begin to identify with masculinity or femininity and even their character between 5 and about 9 years old. They shape their identity. By the time they get to be a preteen or 13, man, ain't nothing you can tell them because they got all in. Look, they done figured it out now. They got all in.
Oh,
and that's a natural progression. That's a normal progression, which is why it's important that they have pro-social examples and pro-social guidance and instruction in their life. Because at some point, they're going to start to emulate or to demonstrate that which they've taken in to be what's important. Hence the young man want to be a baller, want to be a shot caller, want to be a hustler, want to be a gangster, you know, because those are the figures, those are the hero figures. Growing up in Chicago, I remember Fluky Stokes and some of the big names like that, you know, Don Juan and these people, they got all the names, they all the credit in the street, man. Everybody talking about them. You couldn't go nowhere in the social state and not hear about it. You understand what I'm saying?
All right.
But where was the truth? You know, unless somebody explained to you what's real and what's not real, it can get twisted for you real quick. You know, what do you see when, what do other people see in you? When you're dressed all up and when you're putting your good face on, what's the truth about who you are? And, you know, it's interesting to me, children seem to have a keen sense of awareness. And hey, they can call you out sometimes, man.
They call you out right quick.
You know what
call
I mean?
Call you out right
quick. Then you'd be ready to take your back in and smack them. Be quiet, boy. No, let them go. And I mean, let, you know, they know the truth, see? And they know the truth will make them free.
That's what they need. That's what they deserve, brother.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And without it, we cheat them of what's most important. So Pastor, when we look at moving forward and we look at embedding our thought and our concepts and our experience in other places, even here in Nashville or in Columbus, Mississippi, or in Pork and Beans neighborhood of Miami, Florida, right? Whether we on Torme there in New Orleans, Louisiana, or we're in Inglewood in Chicago, or we're in North Detroit, or we find ourselves in Penrose community of St. Louis, or we find ourselves traveling down the street around the corner in Memphis, Tennessee, you know what I mean, or Birmingham, Alabama, wherever we are, the same realities are there. The same realities are there. And it's clear to me that we have to be consistent with what we say. You know, I hear a lot of times when you talk to older men who've been through hard life, sometimes it seems like they're glorifying their negative experiences if you don't take time to teach why you don't go down that road. And I know that's something you can speak to a good deal, Pastor. Will you kind of talk to me about that a little bit? How do you balance that out so young cats don't get the idea that that's secretly where they want to be and want to identify themselves?
Well, Pastor, I learned from knowing how this man came out of the church. The pastor came out of the church. I knew nothing about the Word of God or anything, but I'm going to come up to speed. I'm bringing them up to speed now that I do know a little bit about the Word of God. And it says, we then who are strong all to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to please themselves, you know. So that's where the compassion comes in for me, you know. Looking back on when the man had compassion on me and came out of the church, said something encouraging to me. Now I want you to listen to this. The Word of God said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he would guide us into all truth. He would not speak on his own authority, but that he heareth shall he speak, and then bring forth the things to come. You know, so that's what they deserve. They deserve truth, man. So when the Spirit of truth has come, it's through the guidance of the Spirit of God, you know, that I go back out there. Because in the street terms where I came from, it's like I got mine, you get yours. But see, over in God's kingdom, it doesn't go like that.
It don't work like
you know?
That.
No, that's not the way it's supposed to go. So I'm just going according to my learning, is that I should have compassion for the people outside that don't know any better. And, I mean, who's going to tell them? If I have information and I don't tell them versus someone else have information and I need it and they don't tell me and they're supposed to be inside the will of God doing his will, I mean, I think that's a disgrace. It's like a foul. You know, withholding truth. And so the reason why so many people are out right now, you know, go ahead.
No, I was listening to what you're saying. Because there's this concept of an OG, or old school gangster, right? Well, if you're an old school gangster, why shouldn't a young fella want to be a young school gangster? I mean, you see how easily we get it twisted, man?
It makes sense. You're right.
Now, help me with that. How do you keep from getting the message polluted with the experience? You know, because the experience is real, and ain't no way you can erase what has happened. But you don't want the message that you're trying to get across. Because, see, ideally, I would think that the goal is trying to keep them from not experimenting with it at all or doing it at all. But
that's
if
it.
Secretly
that's
they
the
think it's something hip about it, you know? They think it's something hip about it, and it's something that there's some sort of glorification in coming through it and coming out of it. It can get, the mind can get twisted with that a little bit.
It can. So you have to bring forth the truth, man, so that won't happen. You know, you know, and I'm glad you said that because it can be glorified because that's what's happening. And, you know, a person really don't have to say anything. They can see what you're doing, and they'll glorify themselves.
Watch out now. Watch out now.
Yeah, it can happen, man. And don't let you put a twist to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. You know, at that point, you know, Yeah, at that point, they're in. They're in at that point.
I asked, we're about to go into our last segment for the night in just a little bit. I asked this brother who's been around a little bit. He's sleeping now. He dead and gone, but he gave an answer. All right, you put on your best suit, you put your best foot forward, people see your best person. Suppose you trip and you fall, then what? Let me get a little bit of this, and on the other side of that, let's try to answer that. What happens if after you put your best foot forward and you show people your best, and something happens that you fall? Let me see what happened. What do people think about you then? Listen to this, brother. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. What do others see in you? If you mess up, you slip up and go wrong, is there forgiveness? Who wants you when you're down and out? Help me with that, John.
Pretty deep, yeah. that's pretty deep now. Yeah, and you're going according to the word of God now. You're going really deep now.
My man say, look, Job went through that, Pastor. When Job had it all, he had all kind of friends, man.
Yeah.
But when he started suffering, Charles, they sat around trying to figure out what you do wrong, man. You must have did something. Now, come on now, Job. Come on, man. Tell us, who was it? What was her name, Job? What was her name? Job was down and out then, couldn't find no friends nowhere.
Nowhere, man. That's to me.
Nowhere.
Pretty deep. You know, once you turn your life over and start doing something different, you would think that the joy would hit the fan, you know? I found out, man, it got a little lonely over here, you know? And the temptation was so powerful, but I thank God I was able to stay the course, you know, in spite of nobody, you know, saying, hey, man, is there anything that I can assist you with? You know, that question, I remember someone asked me one time after I had change my direction and start doing a whole lot for the community, you know, with little or no help at all. And a person came up to me and said, do anyone ever ask you, do you need a hand or any help?
Mm-hmm.
I thought about it. I thought that was pretty interesting, you know, that I'm raising that question, you know. And it reminded me of what you're talking about now. Man,
sure.
You know, they want you when you're down and out. I mean, having not, you know, versus having. See, that's the
right
thing. Now, a lot of people, I mean, I say that a lot of people know that they were used to you having. And, you know, your surrounding was always constantly. And as soon as that no longer exists, I would say, but you have something that you replaced it with. I mean, you have a peace, you have a joy, you have freedom, you know, all those things
mm-hmm.
that you got that's meaningful. But nobody wants that. They used
no,
to seeing
no.
and having, and, you know. that's pretty deep, brother. You know, you have something to offer still, but they don't want that. But I think if I was still dangling that stuff that I used to do in their face, I think I'd still have all those friends, and people probably would be gravitating to what it is doing, man. So,
now, that
you know,
is interesting, right?
Yeah. It's
now, that is interesting.
Yeah.
You know, the lie that the enemy tells, not just young people, but old people, that if you want
yeah.
friends, you got to constantly have something to give them. And you got to make them want to be around
you. Oh, yeah,
huh?
Man.
You
yeah.
understand what I'm saying? But
yes,
listen
sir.
To what Bobby said. He said when he lived the life of a millionaire. Now, he was thinking his
yeah.
real life experience. Now, don't get it twisted. He was telling what happened
yeah.
to him, you understand? When he was
that's
out there
right.
throwing money everywhere, man. He had all kind of folk around him. You know,
yeah.
as long as the drink was on me, you cool. But don't get
yeah.
in a situation where you need somebody, man. Some of
oh,
those same
man.
Folk that you were putting out for. Don't get caught up where you need them, and then you realize, hey, it was all a facade. And that's the way oftentimes when we present ourselves, and I don't mean to disparage anyone's image, but when you go out of your way to make yourself up to be someone else or like someone else other than who you genuinely are, the time will come when the truth about who you are will come out. You know, it'll be tested. And then people will say, you know what, I didn't think that was you, man. I didn't think you would do something like that. I can't believe you. I can't believe you done nothing like that. When the
right.
reality is, you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
The truth
oh, yeah.
is, if you're telling the truth about what your limitations are, what your interests are, and really what where you want to be, it's kind of hard for somebody to hold you in the corner on something you're not interested in. Now, they don't like you? Well, that's their problem. I mean, how else can I say that, y'all?
I think you said it
you
pretty
like
good. That's it, man.
You don't like who I am? I mean, all right. Good luck. Good luck.
Most times you see people, you see that their career. You know what I'm saying? Like whether you sell cars, you know, you got a car sales uniform on. Depends on the profession,
wow.
man. It's kind of. So it can be misleading. Depends on what kind of career, what kind of field you're in. If that's all you got to, you know, go off of just sight and vision, but you should have a little bit more than that, you know, a little bit more intellect to be able to judge, a little bit different accordingly. Not what he got on, but what did he do? That's more interesting to me than the actual facade I see.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to put yourself in a position to where you got a captivative audience, right? And then what do you do with that audience, you know, after the spotlight is gone, when the music is off? Can you still keep up the beat, right? Because somehow the music is the only thing that's keeping you alive and that's got folk attention. But when do you have the rhythm within you to where music or no music, you know, you got the beat, man. You can do what you got to do. You know what your purpose is, and there's nothing holding you back from being true to your vision and who you are. So, I mean, you know, again, when we think about the impressions that people have of us, I never would forget growing up, brother, in Project Chicago, and that got to a point where it wasn't that we didn't have clothes, y'all, and it wasn't that we didn't have a way to get clothes clean, but the truth of the matter is, I'm going to blame myself. Sometimes I just got lazy, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm throwing the same clothes I had on yesterday, right? And this was after my dad and my mother separated. The deal was he made it a point to make sure that we were always clean and on point and that we looked like a preacher's children, right? Well, when he left, man, folks started doing their own thing. I'm talking about me now, y'all. I'm confessing on myself. And started stacking up from that. And our peers saw the difference in our appearance and the way we did things. So that was a way for them to call us dirty doctors, you know. Them dirty doctors, man. I'm like, man, you know, you might not understand it as a child, man. Hold up, man, they burning on me.
Yeah, I mean that's being a preacher though, man. You're in a preacher, you know, you held the highest standards out there, so I mean you can't really change that how people, you know, put their judgment on people like that. But I understand that, you know, preachers are humans as well, but you know, coming up trying to be a preacher, you know, come behind preachers, you know, that's kind of hard to challenge that because it's out of their standard.
Sure. And, you know, it's interesting you say that because, and, you know, before my dad passed, we had this conversation. A lot of times preachers put more energy in trying to save the rest of the world that sometimes they miss out on saving their own family.
Oh, man.
But like Charles was saying, it's a lot of pressure, man, that children of ministers go through just to deal with their peers because there's such a high standard. And the children didn't ask for all that. The wife of the preacher didn't ask for all that. But that's what people expect, you know what I mean? So there has to be some balance there. And not just preachers, but people in positions of influence, you know what I mean? And don't let something go wrong with them. And it's in the news. Oh my goodness, they about to get blamed. They about to get slammed. Bitch. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Because the expectation is you don't make no mistakes. You got to be perfect all the time.
You know, this is one of the things that's interesting about what you're sharing right now. You say once you know you put off the old man and be renewed in your mind.
Come on.
Change takes place at point.
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir. Yes.
You shouldn't charge yourself, or I shouldn't charge myself because I've put on something different. I mean, after all, I've been wearing the old thing for so many years. You know, I was miserable to it, but at least I was putting it on. But once I discovered that there was a new way in existence, why should I have a problem with putting that on, you know, and be all right with it since I decided to put it on? And it wears very well, you know. Mm-hmm. And so should I have to take it off to please other people and put the old man back on, you know, and be all right with, hey, man, it's new, it's different, you know, I'm not used to it, but let's just continue and see what it's going to be like. I mean, that's something that I had to do. So whatever others think, I mean, that's on them, you know.
Right.
But practice has to continue. And that's the thing that I like about what we're talking about here now. Mm-hmm. I mean, notice something here. And I take this not of my own, but I'm looking at it from a point of view of saying, I'm just grateful to know. Because let's just say if I didn't know these things, man, I may convert back to what I used to do if I didn't know that I don't have to. You see?
Right.
And it says, you know, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. You know, and then suddenly, to be made new in the attitude
right.
of your mind.
Wow.
And to put on new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So what's wrong with that? You know, and then I think people would find it something wrong with that. Oh, you who you think you are? You been, no, they can say all that they want to, man. I wore the old for so long, man, I had enough of it. So if I can walk in the newness of life, you know, and continue to practice this way of life, I may not be like you want me to be, but at least I know what I'm practicing, man. And that is valuable to me, you know, to know that I didn't know that at first. I didn't even know it was such a way to live. You know, the old man seems so prevalent and so, I would say, recognized by society that, hey, this is the going thing. Let's just keep
right.
keep, and you know, and man, some people right now would love to put on a new man, but just don't know anything about it, man. I just like to believe that, you know.
Yeah.
And so we just have to keep the hope and make that known. It's all right to put on a new man.
Right.
In spite of
and
what others may think.
There you go. And be true to the new man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's okay.
It doesn't matter. And see, you know, that's powerful, Pastor, because often, again, Charles, the devil, the enemy, will keep you a prisoner to some of the most horrible things that happened to you in the past because you're afraid somebody's going to know about that. But when you're a new creature, what difference does it make? Huh? That was yesterday. That's that old man. Now all things have become made new for me. I'm a new creature. And yes, I'm ashamed of my past. Yes, I was ashamed of those behaviors. But guess what? God has given me a new vision and a new focus. I'm a brand new man now.
Huh? Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And no
right.
devil in hell can hold me again, hold my past against me.
Right. Let's just think, man, that would be great, man, for people as a whole to be introduced to that and then discover that it can be done. Oh, man, you were talking about a change. yeah. Some change, brother. So I don't know. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think about the text for this evening. Let your light shine before men. Now, do your light have to be a 200-watt light bulb? No, if you just got a little 20-watt, let it shine.
No, that's right.
Let
whatever
that
amount that you have, you know, just let
there
it just let it do what it's.
You know. Watch this.
Yeah.
Watch this, Pastor. He said, let it shine before men in such a way that they can
yeah.
see.
They'll be able to see it.
Your good work, huh?
That's right. Because I showed it once upon a time what they was talking about, you know. It was too early.
Pastor will tell you, Charles, sometimes it get rough out here, man, and you feel like your light is dim. But it said, let it shine in such a way that they can see the good in what you do and the Father get glory from it. Not you and not other men, but the Father gets glory from it. Then you're doing all right, then.
Yeah, man.
You ain't got to worry about nothing, then. As long as you're putting out the best you can and you know that it's real, guess what? I believe that other people will see when it's real, and they may not give you credit for it, but they'll know, hey, that dude right there, he legit. He 100%. I said to dude, excuse my colloquial expressions there, brother Charles. But I believe y'all know what I'm talking about. You give me some poetic license here tonight.
As long as it's real, man, that's all that matters.
What are you saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, man. All right. I feel better now. So
yeah, man.
We're wrapping up here. Any final thought, Pastor, before we get out of here? We're going to wrap up the show here.
Well, I enjoyed it, man. I just want to thank God for, you know, the people who are tuned in and who are able to receive and embrace and know that it's nothing wrong with being able to keep it real. In other words, you don't have to pretend to be someone that you're not, and I think that's a practice of mine today. And I just want to thank you for the topic. Thank you for tuning in also, Brother Tom. And just
thank the little young white brother. Thank the little young white brother for me, man. He inspired me to share this topic. And good little fella, though. He's a good little fella underneath it all. He's good looking.
That's all right. That's what counts. We show praise God for him. Yes, sir. And one other thing that I will say this, and I would say it with a real genuine heart, man.
Okay.
You know, they say, well, what a difference a day make.
Mm-hmm.
It only
mm-hmm.
takes a moment, man, to change one's direction from the old man to the new. And at
that point,
no matter what one may say, you know, you have a light at that point, you know, as you talked earlier about let your light so shine. And that means they don't have to be such a light where everybody can see it, but there's whoever would be able to see it, man, that they would glorify the Father.
Wow.
So that's good news. Yes, sir. I need
to
get that.
Pastor, you're saying something powerful, man, because I know I've been guilty of it myself, trying to go all out to crank out voltage so everybody can see your light. That ain't necessary.
No, it's not. It's not, man. I never have and never will do that, man. I never have and never will do that. This is the reason why the OJ say you got to take care of your own little corner of the world, your own little spot. So
right.
I always have. Remember,
right.
that was when I was in the streets back then, so I just do all I can do, you know, with what I have, and the rest too is not up to me.
Right. Because everybody got to take care of their own.
Yeah.
We got to
walk
out.
That's the light. Yes, sir, because that light, you know, is for a purpose. And if someone can see it and can be able to do something according to their lives and may find a way to say, hey, you know, if God done something for him, maybe I can get a chance to try that myself, you know. And,
right.
and that's the way it's on, that's the way it should work, man. You know, it's good news.
That's very good news. So we're gonna look to the hill from which come our help, man, knowing that all our help come from the hill.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, from that holy hill. And with that, there's nothing we cannot do. So we thank our listeners to those who may archive the show later, those who may be listening right now. We're grateful for your participation. We thank Brother Charles, and we ask that you, again, tune in to us and support our effort to get out. We are a 501c3-based nonprofit organization, been in existence since 1998, BFC Missions Incorporated, registered in the state of Tennessee. Though we're registered there, we're aiming to go to now more than 11 cities. We had contact with some people in Charlotte, Mecklenburg, North Carolina, and Lord willing, we'll be able to get there. And those other cities that we targeted, they're on our website, www.bfcinstitute.com. If you look at the traveling lecture series, that is our national model. Of course, we have a local initiative in Nashville. That's the parent empowerment piece. And I spoke with Ms. Stearns, Pastor, and also Brother Charles about some things, and we're working on some things here locally, so hopefully we can tie them in with that piece that we had discussed and some of the things that you and I had done already in terms of the street outreach ministry. But God willing, we'll be able to manifest those things in a appropriate time. So, again, let me just reiterate that we thank you for listening to us. The number is my number, personal number, that you can call me. It's on the website, but it's 615-498-4669. Sometimes people want more details about what it is they're contributing to, what we're trying to do. I'm happy to answer any questions you may not find an answer to on the website, although we went out of our way to give you everything that we believe you would need to answer those questions for you. But nonetheless, we encourage you and welcome you to give me a call there, or there's an email. Shoot us an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. Be happy to respond to you. Pastor, God bless you, man.
Yeah, God bless you as well. I appreciate it. Enjoy it as well. Always.
Yes, yes sir. I'm going to leave tonight on this note with a message to a son from a mother based on Langston Hughes' poem. And we are grateful for the participation.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I's been a-climbing on and reaching laddens and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I's still going, honey. I's still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.